anyhow, so that's amazing to me. Yeah, so you know, this is, we fellowship. I don't know what there is about it. So, you know what? As a preacher, this is going to blow your mind probably. As a preacher, sometimes I wonder, why do people even come? There's nothing new. I got to find something nobody else has preached on. I've been looking and looking and looking. I can't find a single thing new. And yet, you know what? Something about fellowship. There's something sweet about fellowship. We've been, you know, God's been blessing. I don't know if you know, God's been blessing this church. We've tried to set up some more chairs, and I know we got a few vacant today, but I mean, it's incredible what God is doing right now, First Baptist Church, and I'm so, so very thankful for that. And I don't know where I was going with that thought, but I just am thankful for that. Get back on track. Stick to the outline. All right. Yeah, I really don't know what I was going to say. John proclaims the incarnate Jesus Christ to be he wants us to have fellowship with him and fellowship with each other. I know what it was. So, yeah, I love coming together. And I know, you know, we've had some people say, why don't we need to go to two services? And I'm thinking, oh, we have such good fellowship. And, you know, people don't leave after church. Some of you people, we can't get you out of here for nothing. You stay around and fellowship. And I love it. I love it. I hate to be in a church where as soon as the last amen, people are running out the doors and jumping through windows and trying to peel out of the, you know, peel away from the parking space if you found one, or hopping on your bike and leaving a, you know, skid mark from peeling out. It's sweet. Fellowship is sweet. We had lunch with Fitz and the Gat yesterday. We had fun. Just talking, just fellowshipping. I don't understand it, but I know that I need it. You've heard the thing, no man is an island, no woman's an island. We're not made just to be by ourselves. Maybe Jeremiah Johnson was, I don't know. But not you, not me. We're made for fellowship. This idea of fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia, and it's not really easy to determine. We think it is, yeah, it's fellowship, it's just getting together. But it's not real easy to determine the exact meaning. It occurs in John's writings only four times. I'm talking about the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He only uses this koinonia four times, and it's right here in these verses 3 through 7 of 1st John chapter 1. That word koinonia or fellowship is used a total of 15 times elsewhere in the New Testament, and 13 times is used in Paul's writing. And it conveys, among other things, the idea of a oneness in community. Why do I feel a bond to you? Why do you feel a bond to people next to you? Why is that? There's a oneness in that. There's having something in common. Common participation, a sharing. So what do we share? If we have koinonia here, if we have fellowship here, and there's a oneness and a sharing, what is it that we share? He tells us. He says preaching of the word. He says we declare unto you. That's what it is, preaching, declaring the truth of the word of God. I love preaching. I have opportunities to go to preachers' meetings. One of the reasons I go, guess what? Preachers need preaching too. Did you realize that? Because preachers can get out of sorts also. Preachers can backslide. Preachers can get off the rails. Preachers can chase rabbits. I need preaching. You need preaching. Anytime someone wants to diminish preaching, I'm not crazy about that. Because preaching the word of God is ordained of God for conveying the truth of God. Walking in the light, that's something else we share. We want to walk in light. We want, literally it means to shine. We'll see in a minute where the word light, photos, means to shine in the Greek. So we need to shine for the glory of God. So when you're not preaching the word of God verbally, you can preach the word of God by your walking in the light. People see that you're different. Loving brothers and sisters, that's another thing. Loving each other. Having eternal life. That's something else we share. When we are in Christ, we have everlasting life. We will never, ever die spiritually. Never. The second death cannot touch us. The first death can. The second death cannot. Then we have the joy of fellowship. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, the next verse in the first chapter, these things write we unto you, John says, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you. There's that word declare again, preaching, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He's writing that so that our joy might be full. This is a sad world, would you agree? There are people who are really sad, and there's a lot of reasons to be sad. There's poverty and sickness and crime and injustice. And I just read about a guy that's been in jail, I can't remember how many years, like 45 years, was not guilty of the crime, but because of technicalities has not been able to be freed. I'm thinking to myself, can you imagine spending your life in prison for a crime that you did not commit? This is not a happy world all by itself, but this is something the gospel gives us. This is something that fellowship gives us, is that our joy might be full. So what is this fullness of joy? Consider John 15, 11, written by the same author, but it's one of the gospels. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that's Jesus talking, and that your joy might be full. That the joy that Christ had would remain in us and our joy might be full. And then in John 16, 24, he says this, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. There's the same thing. So joy, according to John, is the result of three different things. First of all, abiding in Christ, John 15, 4. Do we abide in him? He is the vine. We are the what? Branches. He is the vine. The vine supplies the nourishment. The branches come off of that. So we are connected to him organically. And so joy is the result of abiding in Christ. And then secondly, it's the result of asking and receiving in prayer. John 15 and John 16, we just read a few moments ago. Are we praying? That's the source of abiding joy. If you don't have an abundance of joy, are you praying? Are you talking to God? I get joy out of talking to my wife. I like talking to my wife. I like to go on road trips because we can talk and there's no interruptions if I can get her to lay her phone down. Yeah. So just talking brings me joy. And talking to God and receiving from God. I mean, you know what? In John chapter 8, I don't believe, you've heard me say, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that God allowed me to read what I read in my private devotions today to go right along with. And last week, in my private devotions, it was the exact same text that I was going to use in the message today that I'd already done like 2.5 weeks ago. You know what? It gives me joy to know that God is tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, what about this? Hey, you can use this. Hey, here's an illustration for you. Hey, here's what I said over here. And it goes right along with the message that he's given to me. So joy, abiding joy, fullness of joy, abiding in Christ. If you're walking outside of Christ, you're walking away from Christ, you're not going to have joy and the fullness of it. Are you asking and receiving in prayer? If you're not praying, you're not going to have a fullness of joy. Third thing is bearing fruit. John 15, 8. We abide in Christ, it produces fruit. We have this tomato plant every so often. We plant a tomato plant. It has the vines. They go out. And then on the ends of the branches are the blooms. And the blooms then turn into tomatoes. And they produce fruit if everything goes well. If the tomato worms don't get them. If the birds don't get them. If they don't lay on the ground and get rotten, they produce fruit. And so it is in Christ. This is something that brings us joy, is producing fruit. So if you're lacking fullness of joy, check these three things that John points out. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you asking and receiving in prayer? Are you bearing fruit for him? If the answer is no, there's an area to work on. Number four, the light of fellowship. If we walk in the light, this is the word photos, which means to shine. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's 1 John 1:7 we started with. So light is a major theme of John's, not only gospel. In John chapter 1, he starts talking about Jesus being the light of the world. But it's also a major theme in this little epistle of 1 John. And in fact,